a lot of people don't know, before I moved to the Isle of Man in 2018, I worked for a marketing agency. I was a project director and heavily involved in producing corporate films and that sort of thing. And when I moved here, I only worked for Manx Wildlife Trust 3 days a week. So to obviously make a bit of income, I carried on working as a freelance videographer. And really starting with Manx Wildlife Trust was the start of my career in conservation. I learned a hell of a lot very, very quickly. And one of the things, one of the phrases that got bandied around was something called shifting baseline syndrome, which I thought was interesting. You know, what is shifting baseline syndrome? And basically, it's this premise that generation after generation, we recognise less and less wildlife as the norm. So what my parents would have seen when they were kids is a lot more wildlife, a lot more biodiversity than I see when I was a kid. And obviously my grandparents the same again. And we're losing this because it doesn't get recorded necessarily in a way that is accessible to people. And so given my experience with video, I just thought there was a great opportunity to go out and interview some people, because I knew very quickly there's some great characters in the Isle of Man, people who really know about their subjects. Just an opportunity to kind of save those interviews, those comments, in a way that young people can and all people can view it and get an idea of how things were, just so we can get more of an idea of what we're losing, and hopefully then people are more inclined to act on it.
And was this the baseline of it? Because it's there are some very touching interviews. Equally, it doesn't pull any punches about where we are and, you know, where we've been, as it were, and seemingly heading in one direction. Is it something that can be reversed then? This idea that each new generation comes along, they see whatever wildlife they've got in their contemporary environment and accept that as being, well, that's the way it is.
I don't want to spoil the ending for people, but there is a really nice comment at the end of the video by Gary Curtis, the Manx butterfly conservation guy, and he says that in his lifetime he feels like he's seen things almost at their very best, getting worse and worse, and his hope is that the next generation could be watching this film in years to come and they're actually seeing things getting better and better. So there is definitely hope there, but it comes from people being aware of what we've lost and wanting to save it. Without that, we can't really start, can we, to improve things.
And I think, I mean, it's something, again, I've sort of been involved in doing bits and pieces on Mike's radio for 20 odd years or more now, I guess, and I can sort of well remember talking to John Kenyuk one time, who was the farming correspondent here and a great Manx countryman as well, and loved his sort of wildlife and his birds, and he would always tell me about corncrakes, and saying when he was a little boy growing up in the summer, he said he would be woken by the noise of the corncrakes. There were that many, and again, I have heard one on the island, but I think you'd be very lucky to hear one now.
Yeah, and I think that's the same for many, many species. And this is something that we're very aware of at Manx Wildlife Trust. You know, we're 50 years old last year. It was on our anniversary. For 50 years, we've been getting plots of land, you know, putting a fence around them and saying that's for wildlife. And yet we're still losing species like the yellowhammer most recently. So we clearly needed to change the way that we do things. And it's not just by having nature reserves, although it still is a focus for us, but it's more about working with people. So working with farmers through the agri-environment scheme, working with homeowners through the Nature Recovery Network, really getting more people to act for nature. It's about people and nature thriving together, which I think fits perfectly our whole nation biosphere status as well.
So do you think, you've been working, as you say now, with engagement here with MWT for a number of years, do you think we're beginning to see a change? Because it does seem to me that if you speak to younger generations, and by that I suppose coming from my generation, I'm talking about people coming up in their, you know, teens and maybe in their 20s and perhaps into their early 30s, they do seem to have a different perspective and be more aware of how their environment has changed and is changing and be more inclined or more willing to actually make a change to their lifestyles.
Yeah, I think children, young people are definitely the key. They are the future. I remember when I was at primary school, there was a huge campaign around smoking, and my dad used to smoke at that time, and I remember coming home and convincing him, between me and my brother, basically bashing him until he stopped smoking. And that's the power, I think, that young people have. And at the moment in schools and through Beth, our education officer at Manx Wildlife Trust, we're educating young people around the loss of biodiversity, the loss of bioabundance, the real problems problems that are affecting our wildlife, which will also affect, you know, our ability to live on this planet. And we know that they're taking that home, and they're the best exponents of that subject matter. They're telling their parents, they're telling their grandparents, and that there's a real power to that, I think. And as I say, they're the future. So they're the ones that are going to grow up to be politicians and people in power, you know, heads of businesses that will be able to make a bigger difference. So I do see hope. I do see that we're travelling in the right direction. It's just going to take a bit of time, as everything with nature does.
It does. And I suppose, again, it's always about striking a balance, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, we are here as mankind. I don't suppose we're going anywhere soon. We're very good at making a terrible mess and such like. But, you know, we need to live, but find a way of living without leaving too much of a footmark. I was very sort of struck when I was on holiday recently in Australia, and they often say how, if you look at sort of people like the Aboriginal people lived in Australia for thousands of years with really hardly any effect on the surrounding environment. So you think, I'm not suggesting we're all going to move back into sort of huts and, you know, living off witchetty grubs, but you can live, I think, a life where you're very much in harmony with your environment rather than sort of actually permanently at war with it.
Yeah, and it's about sustainability. And I don't see that as regression, as you say, going back to living in huts. And I'm a huge technophile. I love technology. And I think technology has a lot of the solutions. It certainly helps us at Manx Wildlife Trust in terms of data collecting and things like that. So I see technology as holding the key solutions in terms of sustainability in the future. It's just a different way of thinking that we don't need to keep taking resources to do what we need to do to live. It's about, you know, circular economy, environmental, social and governance. There's a big shift in terms of companies in the Isle of Man wanting to deliver on their ESG. And therefore, you know, be more sustainable. And I think Manx Wildlife Trust is really well placed to help people with that. And we were out yesterday tree planting for the island's first carbon credit scheme, which is really exciting.
Tell us a bit more about the film itself then, because did you shoot it all yourself? How did it actually work out? And what was the, was it a long period over a period of several months or years, or something done in a fairly short burst?
The idea really grew because it started off, as I say, in 2018. I'd not long been working for Manx Wildlife Trust. I had these skills and equipment to go out and film interviews. So I filmed it all in a relatively short period in 2018. Other team members of Manx Wildlife Trust are great at recommending people that I should speak to, and people were very open and helpful in coming forward and being interviewed. And very quickly, I sat down to look at all this footage that I'd recorded and realised I actually had something really powerful, something really emotive and really useful. And I thought, well, I need to do more with this. So we did do some early screenings in sort of 2019 of some of the footage, and the feedback I was getting, and I could see the reactions that people were having to the conversations, to the interviews. And I realised I needed to do something more with it. So the problem at that point was I had a bunch of interviews of people talking about things that didn't really exist anymore, you know, about having to clean car windscreens of all the insects. People don't really have to do that anymore. About big groups of swifts flying up and down Parliament Street in Ramsey, and you just can't go and film that. So many mackerel in the sea that you could walk across their backs, you know, you can't go out with, no matter how good a cameraman you are, you can't go out and capture that kind of stuff. So I realised that probably the only way I was going to do justice to this was to get some animation done. And animation's expensive. It's a long process, certainly to do it well. So I approached the Isle of Man Arts Council, who were very helpful in giving us some funding to get some animation done. And then I approached a guy called Kyle Withington, who people might know from Mona's Isle podcast, which he's been doing recently. He's an animator, graphic artist who's based in Leeds now, but he's from the Isle of Man. And he was really able to take the subject matter of the interviews and turn it into something really beautiful. So it's not just talking heads. It's really beautiful design, illustration, animation that's going on screen that just brings it all to life. And then I was very fortunate to come across Ellery Morgan, who's a composer, does classical instrumental music, originally from South Africa, now living in the Isle of Man. And she basically did the score for the film for me, free of charge, pro bono. And it really brings it to life again. It's not something that music isn't an area that I have any skill in, but I know when I hear something I like, and it works really well just to lead the person through the film in terms of the emotion and the subject matter. So that works really, really well. And then the final thing I really wanted to do, I guess in an ideal world, I would love to have gone back in time and interview people, actually interview them in Manx Gaelic, get them talking about some of this subject matter in Manx Gaelic, because I think some of the wildlife names in Manx Gaelic are absolutely fantastic, very descriptive. Clearly that wasn't possible, but what we were able to do by working with Culture Vanin and Ruth Kegan-Gell there was to get a translation of all the interviews and put that into subtitles. So actually at the premiere on the 20th of April we'll be actually displaying the Manx Gaelic subtitles, which I think is a really nice touch.
So as you said in the film, a lot of interviews, a lot of sort of talking heads and some people speaking beautifully about it. Some great characters, no doubt, you actually interviewed through the making of the film.
Absolutely. And I have to say it did feel in some cases like it was an opportunity to capture these people's thoughts and experiences before we lost them. And I have to say in the case of Anne Kay, who was a very popular teacher on the island, she gave me a really, really nice interview. She read T. Brown to me and talked very knowledgeably about wildlife in Ireland. And she sadly passed away after the filming. So the film is now in her memory. But equally, you know, I've had Bob Taylor from Gemini Charter, all the experiences he's had out on the fishing boats, you know, how easy is it to catch crabs, you know, go out crabbing and catch fish. I've had Richard Hartnell, who used to work at the Marine Lab in Port Erin before it closed down, his experiences of marine life around the Isle of Man as it's changed over the years. Joyce Quilliam, Gary Curtis from Manx Butterfly Conservation, very knowledgeable guy, and some really good views about how we can, how important that connection with nature is for people. And then because we wanted a younger angle as well, we had Chris Gregory from Isle of Play, who I thought brought a really good insight into how important it is for young people to get out and feel like they're part of nature and therefore, you know, care for it and understand it. And I think, you know, across the people that we interviewed, we got a really nice cross section of people from the Isle of Man or who live in the Isle of Man who just give a really nice view of what wildlife is to a small island nation like ours.
20th of April down at Castletown at King William's College. Is that open to all?
It is, absolutely. Anyone can book on. They just go to the King William's College booking site for the King's Theatre and they can book on there. I think tickets are selling quite quickly there, so you know, it's getting soon.
That's good. And then so the film will be screened and it's, what, 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, so I actually originally designed the film to go into the Isle of Man Film Festival, which sadly is no longer. Mm. And they usually have a limit of sort of 15 minutes. So that's what I could have made it a feature-length film, but whether I think the animation would have cost a lot more and whether people would sit and watch talking heads for that long, I don't know. But so yeah, we kept it to a 15-minute film, so there's loads of really good stuff that didn't actually make the edit in the end. But so yeah, the theory is on the evening we'll do the film premiere for 15 minutes and then with yourself very kindly we'll sit down, have a bit of a panel discussion about how the film came together, what the driving forces were behind the people involved, and also just have a look at some of the positives. I'm very conscious that in the video, because these are people talking about things that happened 30, 40, 50 years ago that we would look at abhorrently now, you would say, oh, you can't possibly do that, you know, just oil slicks and, you know, overfishing and these sorts of things. I wanted to get a bit of a positive view from David Bellamy, our head of conservation, and Dr. Lara Howe, our marine officer, about some of the great work that's been happening recently, certainly in terms of the marine nature reserves that we have around the Isle of Man and the great work that's going on with farmers and fishermen to really improve things for wildlife. So to your earlier question, there is definitely hope. There is definitely light at the end of the tunnel. Things are turning a corner, I think.
And I think that's the most important message, isn't it? It is very, and you must see it yourself, and again, you'll see when people see the film, it is easy to dwell on the negatives and things that, you know, we maybe can't undo in some cases and things we might have lost. But equally, I think we always have to stay positive and think, well, there are things we can do. You can't reverse everything necessarily, but we can always do something to improve matters. And I think that's the way going forward. It's partly about education, changing mindsets and having, I suppose the most important thing in many ways is having people care about their environments as well, because if people don't care, then we'll do anything.
Yeah, and as I said before, we need to know what we've lost. And I see this really, without wanting to sound too grand, but I see this film as a piece of history. And it's a chance for people to learn, you know, what's been lost and the things that we've done wrong in the past so that we can learn from them. And if we can instill that understanding in more people, if we can get to this fantastic point of one in four people acting for nature, then we will reach a really positive tipping point and we will make a difference.
And can you remain positive in your own mind? I suppose partly through your role with the NWT, you have to. But do you feel sort of positive going forward that you think, yeah, we are seeing, it might be not a sea change overnight, but we are seeing changes?
Yes, is the short answer. I do feel really positive. I come from a commercial background, and I understand that the world still revolves around money. And what really gives me hope is I can now see the money moving towards conservation and wildlife. As I mentioned before, ESG, environmental, social and governance, you know, companies will decide whether or not to be based on the Isle of Man depending on whether they can deliver their ESG requirements. And so if we don't get renewable energy here, for example, then they won't be able to do that. And that means that companies and therefore money moves away from the island. Once you get into a situation like that, it makes my job as someone who wants to engage with people around wildlife really, really easy, because the wildlife is a side effect of doing what's going to deliver the money for people. So if we can make the island a really wildlife-friendly place, that will attract more modern businesses that are really performing very well nowadays. And that gives me great hope for the future.